you know that when your eyes close here, that when they open there, the first face you'll see, like the blind man, is Jesus's.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is the gospel. It's Jesus. And when you take these texts and make them about you, you miss him. And you leave yourself with no hope. And our hope is in him.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation and teachings by Craig Parton, Matt Harrison, Al Schmidt, Will Whedon, and Jonathan Fisk on a new audio DVD for the 2014 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
How would you know if you walked into a church on Sunday morning whether or not that church was partaking in a particular error? It's a rather broad error. It's not just an error in one doctrine. It's a whole different orientation in theology than from historic Christianity, called pietism. What would you hear? What would you see? What would the emphasis be? We're going to answer that question here in the next few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor David Miller joins us to talk about pietism. He's pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine. It's titled Being a Pietist. Pastor Miller, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
It's a term that gets tossed around a lot, especially among Lutherans. Pietism. What does it mean?
I think it's best to talk about the narrow definition as well as a broader definition. The narrow definition would be the movement in Germany in the 1600s, and that was based on a desire of Philip Jacob Spener and his followers to move towards a Christianity that seemed more authentic, more heartfelt, more real, more experienced. And then the broader definition could be all the different ways that has manifested itself throughout the millennia. That would include just anything where you're trying to seek a Christianity outside of Christ Jesus alone.
So you mentioned Philip Spener. Tell us who he was and why he is sometimes considered one of the fathers of this movement, sure. Pietism.
Sure. He was a Lutheran pastor in Frankfurt at the time. And he wrote a book called The Pia Desideria, which means heartfelt desires, and that was back in 1675. And again, what he was really trying to do was move away from what he perceived was this dead orthodoxy. You know, after the Reformation, there was a big emphasis on doctrine, and he thought that that was a problem with the church at the time. So what he wanted to do was move away from something that just felt kind of lifeless. He wanted more of an experienced faith, a lived faith, a practiced faith. And so he really encouraged folks to practice a number of different devotional things, such as meet in conventicles, which were kind of like the small group Bible studies of the day, but that those conventicles were more focused on a personal interpretation of the scriptures as opposed to kind of a more objective understanding. So what the word means to me as opposed to what the word is really trying to say to everyone, as well as praying, just the emphasis on prayer, which is great. We love prayer. But it was misused as far as it was a kind of a gateway to accessing God in some way, a way that he doesn't promise to be found. God promises to come to us, right, and that he does that through objective means of grace. And when we try to ascend to him in certain ways, certain devotional practices, which Spener was emphasizing, we tend to try to access him in a way that he doesn't promise, you know, that we can't access him because we can't, because we're sinners, right? But nevertheless, he comes to us with his grace.
So how would you describe Philip Spener's legacy today? Where would we find it?
Really? really any kind of Christianity that tries to be, that is more experiential. But I can just say that, you know, when I was early on in college, I was really trying to figure out this whole Christianity thing. And I said, well, there's Lutherans, but then there's all other stripes too. How do I know that I really got the right belief here? And so I was kind of looking around, and I dabbled a little bit in with some mega churches, and I really got into what they were doing. And I think the thing was that they were big on getting the crowds excited, right? And everybody seemed pumped. It just seemed like a bigger, more intense, more experienced, more lived Christianity. And I got caught up in that. And the problem was that at the end of the day, I was always forced to look inside and say, is this really, you know, really something I believe? Is this really something that I really feel outside of the 1 hour, you know, I'm in worship with these people? And I just was wondering, do I myself have the Holy Spirit? You know, do I really have the faith that I need even to be saved? And that was a very scary thought.
So that emphasis was slowly but surely robbing you of any consolation or assurance, or certainty that you had.
It really was. I mean, the big drive there is, you know, do you accept Jesus? And I kept thinking I could. And so I kept, at the end of each sermon, you know, they didn't have an altar call, but nevertheless, it was the same purpose. Do you accept Christ? Are you going to live for him today? That kind of thing. And I kept deciding, hey, yeah, that's right. I'm going to let him into my heart. And what ultimately would happen is I'd find myself on the way home, cursing the guy who cuts me off in traffic, or, you know, doing whatever that a pious Christian wouldn't do. And so I kept saying, man, I just haven't accepted him yet, have I? Because I kept sitting. Do I really have the faith? Because I'm not living it. And so, yeah, I never felt, it was interesting because the things that are supposed to get you closest to God actually made me feel farthest. And, yeah, it was a sad place to be.
So let's talk about, so you find yourself smack dab in the middle of Philip Spener's current day legacy of pietism. How would, speaking from that experience, how would someone walking into a church today, one of our listeners, how would they know if that church has become infected with pietism? What would they see? What would they hear? Where would the emphasis be?
Well, I think it really comes down to the difference between piety and pietism. And I say that because piety is any practice that we have as Christians that really focuses our attention outside of ourselves, focuses it on Christ Jesus, focuses it on the objective gospel, that Christ Jesus has died for our sins. That's something that is sure and certain. We can bank on that, right? But pietism is anything where the emphasis is put on us. And so it's more anthropocentric, more man-centered instead of Christ-centered, Christocentric. So when you walk in, what does the art tell you? What does the music tell you? Is it telling you that objective gospel, or is it telling you, you know, a subjective thing that ultimately puts the work, the burden of salvation back on you? And so when you walk into a space that's empty, that is that there's not a whole lot of Jesus art around, or a space that feels more like a conference room where you, you know, jot down the principles to a better life or whatever it is, that is going to be more pietistic. Whereas if you see, you know, rich Christocentric artwork and the Word of God is very present in the music, those kinds of things, in the service itself, in the liturgy, that's going to tell you that you're at the right place where, you know, it's a healthy practice of piety instead of pietism.
What becomes of the sacraments? I mean, what became of the sacraments in Spener's day, and what becomes of them today under the influence of pietism?
Well, when the emphasis is on you, when the emphasis is subjective, then you leave behind the objective means of grace. I could walk away baptized, or walk away from the altar, or walk away from holy absolution, and if I don't feel any different, you know, I could say, well, if I'm looking for a more experienced faith, that wasn't it. And so that's kind of what was happening. And what happens today, we tend to put those objective means of grace aside because those things don't change our, it might not feel like it's changing our hearts, changing who we are, changing what's, you know, those things slowly, of course, change who we are in terms of our Christian character as we gain an appreciation for what, for the benefits of those gifts. But nevertheless, you know, if your emphasis is in the wrong spot, then you're gonna leave them behind. So instead, the objective means of grace, the sacraments, when we put our trust in those things as being, hey, this is where I can get forgiven. This is where I get eternal life. This is where I have salvation with God. And my butt is pulled out of the fire. You start getting a better appreciation than those sacraments instead of being left behind, instead be that to which you cling.
So you've mentioned this several times, but let's kind of put it in a nutshell. What is the difference? And this is a confusion people always have. What's the difference between piety and pietism?
Piety and pietism. Well, piety is, again, just any outward reverence or Christian practice that somebody has that points us to Christ. It points us outside of ourselves. Pietism does the opposite, points us into ourselves to reflect and meditate on who we are and what we've done and that sort of thing. So an example of piety would be, you know, if I crossed myself or if I made a habit of reading God's word every morning and having, you know, devotional prayers, you know, pray for others, that sort of thing. Those would all be acts of piety. But those would be different than pietism because those are just generally good things where I'm just opened up to receiving the Lord's gifts, you know, through his word. And the sign of the cross points me back to the wonderful grace that I have through Christ's cross and empty tomb. Whereas, you know, those things, while good, of course, anything can lead to pietism if we put any extra stock in them, right? And so pietism, an example of something that would be an act of pietism would be something that is not mandated in God's word or commanded. An example of that would be not to play cards or not to dance or not to drink or not to smoke or those kinds of things. Those things are not commanded one way or another by God. And so when we want to make man-made laws, then that would be moving us in the direction of pietism.
Finally, you say our only guarantee is in Christ Jesus. What do you mean by that?
If we put any stock in ourselves, so I could say, well, I pray for 2 hours every day. That makes me such a good Christian. While I might not tell anybody that at the same time, that might make me personally feel like, you know, I really have a rigorous spiritual life and good for me, right? But if I find out my buddy is praying 3 hours a day, then I'm going to say, man, I should step up my game. Well, the problem with that is there's just never enough. Before I was acting like a Pharisee, right? I was putting faith in myself. I can do this. I can make myself great in the eyes of the Lord. That's not good. But of course, if you you know, go down that road long enough, ultimately, I believe it's going to lead you to despair. We're going to say, I just have no certainty. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm doing enough to be pleasing to God. And so that's going to lead you down a sad path. You're just going to have no certainty, nothing but doubt. But when we look instead to the objective grace that we have through Christ Jesus, through his life, his death, his resurrection, we have a great hope and certainty in that. That is something that I don't care how I'm feeling. I could be feeling down. I could feel like God is so far away from me. But nevertheless, because I know how God has expressed his love for me and how God has saved me, I can have a wonderful certainty and hope because of that.
Pastor David Miller is pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Pietist. You'll find a link to an absolutely free download of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. By the way, over the years, we've had listeners inquire about a confessional Lutheran church in the greater Atlanta area. They've asked, we've looked, we've combed the area. Contact Pastor David Miller and Ascension Lutheran Church in Atlanta. You will not be disappointed. David, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back in hour two of Issues, etc. on this Friday afternoon, we're going to talk Methodism. I've always wondered, why is it called Methodism? Its founder, John Wesley, I guess it's also called Wesleyanism. But why is it called Methodism? Then we'll talk about a federal judge striking down part of Utah's polygamy ban, and we'll play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.